Most of the rest of what I say will be drawn from conversations with Stephen Lenny. Okay, so in the anti-de-Sitter space, there are two bulk operations that you can do to compute the same information about the same correlators in the CFT. In de-Sitter space, there are analogs of both of these procedures, but they give results that differ from each other. And I'm going to take that as a suggestion that to the extent DSCFT makes sense, there might be more than one way of understanding or thinking about it. So I'm going to argue that one of these makes the connection to ADS clearer, and the other makes the connection maybe to FRWCFT easier to understand. Okay, so to begin with, and make the contrast to de-Sitter space sharper, I'm going to review the two procedures in ADS and then sketch how you can show that they give the same answers. So beginning, let's say, with Euclidean ADS, in these coordinates, you might imagine we have some bulk scalar field phi, which is dual to some operator O in the CFT. Then we can compute the partition function as a function of boundary conditions beta for this field phi, which is some path integral where we put these boundary conditions at some regulator surface, and we integrate over fields in the interior. Okay, so then the question you want to ask is something like, what is the correlation function of this operator with other operators in the CFT? And there are two prescriptions for that. The first one is to take functional derivatives with respect to these boundary conditions of the partition function. And this was introduced by Gubser, Klebanov, Polyakov, and Witten. Another prescription is you can take the limit as z goes to 0 of the correlation function appropriately rescaled of the bulk field. Okay, so this was used by Lenny and Witten in their paper, but I think sort of most clearly articulated by Banks, Douglas, Horwitz, and Martinek, who conjectured that it was equivalent to this dictionary here. And Giddings gave an argument for that in the context of free field theory. So Daniel and I used some technology from Hemskirk and Polchinski's paper to show that this continues to be true if you consider, let's say, a self-interacting scalar field in the bulk. So what we used from Hemskirk and Polchinski is this idea of dividing the path integral into an integral between the regulator surface and some intermediate surface at z, where boundary conditions phi tilde are placed. So we do the path integral between these two, call that psi uv, and do the path integral between these two, call that psi ir. And then the path integral is now a functional integral over this matching condition, psi uv, psi ir. OK, and you can also write in this formalism, you know, equal time correlation functions look like, again, a functional integral, psi uv, psi ir, phi tilde x, dot, dot, dot. OK, so the idea then is if you plug this formula into the GKPW dictionary, then it will spit out for you this BDHM correlator if, in the limit that z goes to 0, you have, guess I'll write it. If you have the functional derivatives with respect to beta of x of psi uv are given by an appropriate power of z times phi tilde . So if this is true, then these two expressions will be manifestly equivalent, where the dot, dot, dots are subleading terms after you integrate against psi ir. So again, the simplest example is to take a free massive field, in which case, let's see, psi uv, you can do the Gaussian path integral between these two surfaces. You find that this looks like this. plus subleaving terms as z goes to 0. And then here it's clear the functional derivatives with respect to beta bring down z to the minus delta times phi tilde. OK, so then Daniel and I showed that as z approaches the regulator surface, the path integral that defines psi uv becomes sharply peaked. And one can evaluate this expression by looking at the classical equations of motion. And you can show that what happens is this gets replaced by some more general function, f of phi tilde, but not of z. So for example, take the case where you have a lambda phi to the fourth interaction. Then what you get in here is lambda phi tilde cubed plus, again, more dots. So this means that the differentiate, this GKPW dictionary here, is equivalent to the limit, not of correlation functions with phi inserted, but with phi plus lambda phi cubed plus dot, dot, dot inserted. But as you approach the boundary, a phi cubed has more propagators coming off it. And propagators cost powers of z. So this is suppressed by powers of z. Since we only care about the limit, we can ignore such terms. Actually, there's a slight subtlety, which is that if this interaction happens close to the boundary, then really only one propagator comes out of here, and it's not suppressed by powers of z. The right interpretation of this, though, is as this interaction has to happen very close to this point. So the right interpretation of this is of a phi in the product of phi cubed. So depending somewhat on how these bulk composite operators are normalized, one could, for example, subtract out the component phi in phi cubed, and then you would not have that contribution. This would be explicitly subleaving. If, on the other hand, you have some finite phi within phi cubed, then you'll get some finite correction to the numerical agreement between the dictionaries. But the qualitative agreement will be preserved. OK, that's all I wanted to say about ADS. Actually, before I go on, let me make one final comment, which is that as this intermediate surface approaches the regulator surface, the path integral that defines psi uv basically becomes a psi uv essentially becomes a delta function. So psi ir becomes, up to some local counterterms, a partition function. So one could as easily have defined this GKPW procedure in terms of functional derivatives of the wave function psi ir. That will be useful for comparison to De Sitter space. So in De Sitter space, I promise there are analogous operations to both of these. So if we take De Sitter space, we're now in these coordinates, where future infinity is here at t equals 0, and the bulk is at negative t. Then in 2001, Witten suggested that one could define CFT-like correlation functions on the future boundary by computing correlation functions at some finite t and then extrapolating them. This is very much in the spirit of the BDHM dictionary in anti-De Sitter space. In 2002, Maldacena suggested that one could compute the wave function of the universe as a function of t and the fields, and then look at functional derivatives of that wave function, setting the fields to 0. And that's very much in the spirit of the GKPW dictionary. So I'm going to emphasize that these operations are different, maybe obvious, but that they're different in a definite way, which sort of relates to different ways of thinking about DSCFT. To do that, I'm going to have to pick a vacuum for De Sitter space. And everything I say will be dependent on the choice of the Euclidean vacuum. So I'm going to discuss now how to compute correlation functions in that vacuum. And then we'll explicitly evaluate these two things and see that they're different, and then discuss their interpretation in the final part of the talk. So there are different equivalent ways of defining the Euclidean vacuum and correlation functions in the Euclidean vacuum. What I'm going to use is to analytically continue correlation functions from the sphere. So suppose we want to compute some equal time correlation function to sitter space. First, we compute as a function of theta on the sphere. We put phi's in here. We compute that two-point function on the sphere where the path integral is well-defined. And then we use the continuation of the sphere metric under theta equals pi over 2 plus I tau to the de Sitter metric in global coordinates to compute the correlation functions in de Sitter space. This is one of several equivalent ways of defining this vacuum. So to compare to ADS, it's convenient to do a similar thing as we did there and do this path integral for the sphere in two steps. First, computing the path integral over the southern and northern caps as a wave function psi s and psi n, and then integrating over the matching condition phi tilde. So now we have, let's say, phi tilde two-point function, the function of theta on the sphere, is this path integral there's no tildes here. Tilde, I'm confused by my own notation, but or maybe it was Himskirk and Polchinski's notation, but in any case, phi tilde is a function only of space. So in here, it's the d-dimensional sphere that goes around that direction. Phi is the field in the space-time. Okay, so then to analytically continue this to de Sitter space, we want to analytically continue in theta. The only thing in this expression that depends on theta, again, because phi tilde only depends on space, are these wave functions. So the answer in de Sitter space, again, we have the phi tilde, and now we have psi squared, where I've used the fact that the analytic continuation of psi n is the complex conjugate of the analytic continuation of psi south. This is, I think, a standard fact. And in any case, Daniel and I discussed this in our paper. I can tell you more about it if anybody wants. But now psi here, let's say as a function of tau, is psi south of theta equals pi over 2 plus I tau. And this is one of several equivalent ways of defining the Hartle-Hawking wave function. So to compare these expressions to ADS, we would have had there an integral, again, over phi tilde, psi uv, psi ir. OK, so I'm going to take a moment now to discuss the analytic continuation properties of these expressions here. So I told you already that these wave functions are related by analytic continuation. And as Maldacena discussed in his 2002 paper, and Daniel and I discussed as well, this wave function here is related by analytic continuation to psi ir in Euclidean ADS. That's true, I should mention, in the context of field theory in a fixed background. And again, I can discuss that more if anybody's interested. But it's sort of not relevant to the main development of the talk, except to mention that psi uv here is not related by analytic continuation to the other wave functions. So this means the correlation functions in ADS are not analytic continuations of the correlation functions in de Sitter space or the sphere. Particularly, the propagator is not an analytic continuation. The analytic relation between the spaces is at the level of wave functions and not at the level of correlation functions. That's at least true for the Euclidean vacuum. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm putting that issue aside. What I'm assuming is a definition of the Euclidean vacuum here, and I'm computing correlation functions. Whether it makes deep sense to speak of quantum mechanics on global slices is... Yeah, if you'd like, you can make an internal translation which says correlation functions with this prescription. Yeah, and one way to see that is that if we take tau equals zero, then this is just the Euclidean path integral over the hemisphere, and then it evolves forward in time according to the Hamiltonian, time-dependent Hamiltonian for global de Sitter space. Yeah. Well, the Wheeler-DeWitt equation in the limit that we take a fixed background. This is the solution that's appropriate to an expanding de Sitter space. Yeah. Okay. Sorry? I was explicit about how these correlation functions are computed. They're computed by analytic continuation from the sphere. So if you don't want to interpret these wave functions quantum mechanically, then you can just interpret them as analytic continuations of path integrals over portions of the sphere. Whether or not it's quantum mechanics isn't important for what I'm saying at the moment, in any case. Look, this you can just say, don't interpret this, if you like, as the Born rule. Interpret this as the prescription for analytic continuation from the sphere. Is this? This is the complex square of some function. But let's talk about unitarity when the objection arises later, if you like. So far, I'm talking about correlation functions in a vacuum that I've defined precisely. You can object later. You've got yeah, okay. Simeon's asking a question, though, which gets at a deeper issue of whether one expects a real quantum mechanics to apply to the global wave function. Okay, so. Okay, so I've made the comment already about analytic continuation. So to go further and compare these procedures, I need to write down some wave functions. So to make things simple, let me write down wave functions for free fields. So we've already seen psi uv, but I'm going to rewrite it. And I'll write psi ir, and it's analytic continuation. These will be wave functions for small t, so late time. And here we have this local term. Psi ir has a similar local term. And then it has a non-local term. And then psi, I've told you, is analytic continuation from psi ir. And if you follow through the analytic continuation, you see that an I goes here in front of this local term. This turns into a t. And then some complex number, which I'll call 1 plus I, goes in front of this non-local term. the capital delta from ADS gets turned into a lowercase delta for DS. Okay, so two comments about this before moving on. One is that as z tends to 0, both psi uv and psi ir in ADS become very sharply peaked, and fluctuations in this field phi tilde are suppressed. This is a manifestation or maybe a definition of cold boundary conditions in anti-De Sitter space. In sharp contrast is De Sitter space, where this term here, which would have suppressed fluctuations, is pure phase, and it cancels between psi and psi star, leaving the fluctuations in the phi tilde field at the future boundary unsuppressed. Okay, so then we can now explicitly evaluate these two procedures in De Sitter space. So you can see that these functional derivatives acting on psi at phi tilde equals 0 give k to the 2 delta minus d. Whereas these correlation functions at late time, to compute this, we take psi star psi. So this I and that I cancel between psi and psi star. We have this Gaussian term. And to compute this two-point function, we invert the Gaussian term. We get 1 over k to the 2 delta minus d. OK, so this is the Fourier transform of the two-point function of a conformal primary of dimension delta, and this of one of dimension v minus delta. So for example, taking the case of a massless field, delta equals d. So this is the logarithmic fluctuations of a massless field at the future boundary. And this is dimension d. So the point is very clear that these are different, unlike in anti-De Sitter space, where these both would have been dimension d. In fact, if you're a little bit more careful and compute this two-point function exactly, so in the free theory, you compute the two-point function exactly, and you'll see that, you know, this thing in all its hypergeometric glory has a subleading piece, which looks like a dimension delta term. So maybe if we're generous to the extrapolate dictionary, we might assign two operators to a bulk field, one of dimension d minus delta and one of dimension delta. And I'll come back to that point towards the end of the talk. OK, so now comes the interpretation section. It's clear that these two procedures, whatever they're computing, is not the same correlation functions in the same CFT. Again, Maldacena has proposed that one interpretation is that you could imagine that this wave function, now I'll say as a function of the metric and the fields, could be given as the partition function of some CFT with fields M. So an action that depends on M and G, and then plus some coupling of phi to an operator O in the CFT. So this, I should put an equals, this is true. Okay, let's suppose, following Maldacena, this is true up to counterterms and at late time, or large g. Well, within this context, it's clear what these guys are. This is just functional derivatives with respect to phi tilde pull down O's. So these are just the O correlation functions in this CFT defined by the M's, the CFT that computes this wave function. So then you could ask what interpretation of these things are. And that's also not confusing. Phi phi. Let's see. To compute this, we need to integrate d phi tilde, really integrate dg as well. Psi star psi times phi tilde. And you can write psi star psi with two sets of these matrix fields, one that computes psi and one that computes psi star. So then these extrapolated correlation functions are correlation functions in some larger theory, this so-called doubled theory. Okay, so now, on the one hand, you might say that this is just what you do to the CFT to compute extrapolated correlation functions, and it doesn't really have any important meaning aside from that. But as Harlow and Susskind discussed, this might be a good way of understanding the relationship to FRW. One way to see that is that at late times, the census taker sees effectively correlation functions in a doubled theory for a De Sitter space in 2 plus 1 dimensions. I think Daniel's going to talk a little bit more about that. Right. So I'll take it that this doubled theory is worth exploring in its own right and use the remaining few minutes to talk a little bit about that. So first, to make things simple, I'm going to continue working in the field theory in De Sitter space limit where H over M Planck is small, and I can basically ignore this integral over metrics. I'll comment on that at the end, and Daniel will have more to say about re-including the metric. So first of all, what do you compute correlation functions of in this doubled theory? So naively, there are three operators for each bulk field. There's phi tilde, O1, and O2. But in fact, the equation of motion for phi tilde sets to zero the linear combination O1 plus O2. So in correlation functions, O1 plus O2 is zero. But in fact, you really only have two operators for each bulk field. You have phi, and then what I'll call O, which you can take to either be O1 or minus O2. OK, so we already know what the dimension of phi tilde is in this theory, what its correlation functions look like, because those are just these extrapolated correlation functions. Right, but now I'm considering this doubled theory, which involves an integral over the bulk field phi tilde. Okay. So if you like, this is the theory that computes bulk expectation values. Those are the things that the census taker sees. So perhaps we should explore it in its own right. OK, so then as a final little calculation, let me compute the dimension of this O operator in the doubled theory. We know that its dimension delta in the single theory from this calculation. So we want to compute this, where these double brackets mean expectation value in the doubled CFT, or doubled theory. So this should be an integral over phi tilde. I'm going to suppress the integral over the metric in the field theory and De Sitter space limit. And then this is given by the following expression. Because these functional derivatives acting on psi bring down O, and the psi star makes up the dm2 integral. OK, so then you can use the fact that by definition of psi, psi can be written in this form. Where dot 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 includes cubic terms, and this is integrated over x and y. So you can use this expression to evaluate these functional derivatives with respect to phi, and you get O at x, O y, plus a second term, which looks like Ox, Ox prime, and then the expectation value of phi tilde, x prime, y prime, times OY prime OY. OK, but this guy here, in this doubled theory, as a matrix in X prime and Y prime, is the inverse of this matrix here. Yeah. Well, but we know that it has two-point functions. They depend on the M fields. So phi only enters in its coupling to O. Yeah. But nevertheless, it has two-point functions. So this is a there's some action. If, for example, you were to do the integral over m, then, you know, by assumption, we get the Wheeler-DeWitt wave function, which depends non-trivially on phi. So this, yeah. Okay, the conclusion here is that this is proportional to O of x, O of y, because this matrix inverse kills one of these guys. In fact, this is really, this will be a real quantity, so there's some coefficient which enters depending on the ratio of real and imaginary parts. And this, but the conclusion here is that O has the same dimension delta in the doubled theory as it does in the single theory. So one might be tempted then to think that, well, that this operator phi tilde O here would be marginal, because the dimension of this guy is delta, and the dimension of this guy is d minus delta, and you're integrating it over space. So perhaps this doubled theory is actually a conformal field theory. In fact, you can give a better argument for that by looking at the differential constraint that implies de Sitter invariance for the wave function, and see that, indeed, correlation functions in the doubled theory of O and phi tilde will be conformally covariant at late time. So the message I want to, to end with is that if you have one CFT for psi, then you can put them together and get a doubled CFT, where phi now is paired with its operators both of dimension d minus delta and delta, perhaps as this extrapolate dictionary was hinting to us. OK, so to set the stage for Daniel, let me now say that I treated this as field theory in de Sitter space, but in fact, we should integrate over this metric in this doubled theory. So perhaps the right description is to think of a CFT coupled to gravity. So in 2 plus 1 dimensions, where I care about it particularly for census taker reasons, this will be a Liouville theory. And I think, yeah, I think Daniel will take it from there. So that's all I have to say. Thank you for listening. Let's see, which, you mean the extrapolated correlation functions?
Yeah, that's right. I think that must be the reversion
of that. It gives the same answer as functional derivatives of the partition function? That's. Yeah, so that.
If I would have done the same thing here,
yeah.
I would expect that from general grounds.
Yes. And if you had studied de Sitter space by fixing the field content at future infinity, then you would have indeed found that these two procedures agreed. That's not how I'm studying de Sitter space. I'm using the Euclidean vacuum, or analytic continuation from the sphere. So this doesn't.
Well,
If
it would have been this description, the project momentum, you would have understood it and you would have also found the right description here. But it's just the fact that you've rewritten it through some accidental identity again that allows you, and then that accidental identity is not doing the correct equation with that derivative there.
I'm not sure what correct equation means. So these are two procedures that one can do, and these are two natural things to study in de Sitter space. This was the first.
The point is just that you know what quantitative variables are defined in terms of the global expression. You have written there the quantitative variable that compiles, and the quantitative variable is not by itself derivative of phi. And if you would have taken the same expression here, you would have the right answer.
But I'm not sure what the right answer means. That's fine. There are no doubt ways of computing that in de Sitter space. That's. You're mentioning, you're saying something which I agree with, which is that there's a special property of what we're doing in anti-de Sitter space which makes these two procedures agree. I'm not claiming that they should have agreed in de Sitter space. I'm saying that these are two natural things which one can do, which will give correlation functions which are globally conformally invariant. And this was, in fact, what the first thing that, you know, that Witten considered in de Sitter space when he was thinking about holography was, in fact, this precisely that, extrapolating these correlation functions. So. Right.
There are two different physical groupings too.
No, there's a reason why they're the same. The reason is because you can rewrite the quantitative variable using certain properties.
These things will be globally conformally invariant. Yeah. Yes. So, so these are, right.
Let me just have both of them there. I think there is a second description in this industry which would have given the same answer as the first description if you would have done it in the right way.